What makes us, as humans, different, even shall I say better than monkeys? Well, maybe not much these days, but we do have a few things going for us since Charlie Darwin said we came down from the trees, things that make us more human, more special than our primate cousins. I like to think it's our ability to think constructively, to feel empathetically, and to create the world around us. It's the arts and sciences that make our lives better and make us smarter and, yes, more special than those darn monkeys. Hello, everybody. I'm Brian Hanna. And speaking of special, today's guest on Better Than Monkeys, well, you don't get more special than that. Let me tell you a little bit about her. The year was 1944, and Catherine, a young mother and government clerk and widow of a Navy musician, enrolled her daughter Dolores in dance classes at the Jones Haywood School of Ballet. Dolores was just 15 when a teacher from George Balanchine's School of American Ballet visited the school and selected Dolores to audition for his company in New York City. She won that audition. A few years later, she won an audition for a touring company of Call Me Madam. She followed that with Broadway roles in Guys and Dolls and Can Can, and in 1957, her star power was solidified when she was cast as Anita in the Broadway production of West Side Story. From there, she became a household name in the musical theater world. She appeared as Velma Kelly in the original Broadway production of Chicago. Other roles and performances included The Rink with Liza Minnelli, Sweet Charity with Shirley MacLaine, Bye Bye Birdie, Pippin, Kiss of the Spider-Woman, and so many more. She holds 10 Tony nominations, a current record, 2 Tony Award wins. In 2002, the Kennedy Center Honors honored her with an award, and in 2009, President Barack Obama awarded her the Presidential Medal of Freedom. Dolores, well, you know her better as Cheetah Rivera. Cheetah Rivera was kind enough to grace us with an interview just a little while back, and today on Better Than Monkeys, I would love to share that interview with you. Here is my interview with the legendary Cheetah Rivera. So this isn't your first time in Erie either. You were here just a couple of years ago, 2013, I remember.
It was a very, very nice experience. I'm very happy to be coming back.
Well, you know, there's a local legend that says while you were here in Erie the last time, you couldn't find slippers at the hotel, so you braved running across 6 lanes of traffic across Peach Street to buy a pair of slippers at Walmart, and that rumor still is floating around. Is there any truth to that rumor?
Well, I do remember running across 6 lanes of traffic. I can't remember what the reason was for, but slippers is good enough for me. That's funny. I love all that sort of stuff.
Well, that's the stuff of legends.
Absolutely.
So I actually have
important things like that.
Exactly. Yes. That's what people really want to know. So. I did have a couple of questions for you. One is, in the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, to be successful, you had to be a triple threat. You had to be able to sing and dance and act. Was your goal always to be a singer, dancer, actress, or did you originally intend to just be a dancer?
Well, you know, actually, in my experience, we had no idea that we could do more than, for instance, I was a ballet dancer, and then Jerome Robbins hired me for Call Me Madam with Elaine Stritch, and it was during that time that I learned how to sing, and then as the years went by, I learned how to do, I was given characters to play, so therefore I had to do the book, which was the acting, and so that's how we learned. We didn't set out, you know, saying we want to do all 3 and be great at it. You know, we just went through the course of learning, and I was lucky enough to be taught by the greats. Peter Gennaro, Jerome Robbins, Michael Kidd, Leonard Bernstein, and those guys, Stephen Sondheim. And if one were to ask me what I really am, I would always say dancer. You know, because that's how I started out, and that's what I basically feel. But now I am, you know, after 150 years, I am I'm an all-around performer, and you get that in the theater.
You did start as a ballet dancer, and
right.
Then when you were just a young girl, you were, what, about 16 or so when you auditioned for George Balanchine?
Yeah, that's right, exactly.
And your career started right that day, huh?
Well, it was an it was, you know, it's all a part. I really see it all as my life, you know, each section being a part of my life. And when I went in and auditioned for him, I had no idea it was Mr. Balanchine. Had I known it, maybe I would have been a little more nervous. Maybe I wouldn't have been, you know, as acceptable as I was at that time. And it was a glorious moment for me when I did find out that I had auditioned for the master, you know, and I was accepted. So that put me on another road. That was, as I was growing up, that put me on the ballet road, and I was going to join the company. I wanted to, let's say that. And you've heard, I'm sure, this story about going with a girlfriend of mine to the audition of Call Me Madam, and she needed the job because she wasn't on scholarship. I didn't. I was brave. And when I talk to kids, I talk about fear and trying to get rid of it. And because I was fearless that day, I didn't need it, I got the job. That turned another corner for me. So it's all a part of your life, you know, the way one's life goes, no matter what field they're in.
Part of it's timing, the other half's luck.
Absolutely. And then you have to have a gift, and you have to respect it and use it.
Over the course of your long career, you have enjoyed sharing the stage with some wonderful performers.
Right.
And I'm sure even a superstar like yourself from time to time will experience, let's say, fangirl moments, where you're finally working with somebody that you've admired your entire life. You've worked with Dick Van Dyke and Donald O'Connor and Sammy Davis Jr. and Liza Minnelli. Who was the most easy to work with? Who might have been maybe a little more difficult than you would have expected? And who was your biggest fangirl moment?
Well, difficult, none of them. Absolutely none of them were difficult. And you go into a rehearsal and you really become friends, or most of the time, certainly in my case, and you, in the theater, you become a family because you're really working for the piece, not for yourself. And working with Liza was extraordinary. Working with Sammy was fantastic. I guess maybe I was in awe a bit because Sammy was from another world.
Right.
So he was from the nightclub work that, you know. It was also absolutely delicious to work with Antonio Banderas.
Antonio Banderas.
Because he was Antonio Banderas.
Right.
You know, and he was from the films, actually. He really is from the theater, but, you know, we know him as a motion picture, you know, gorgeous leading man. So it's probably a dancer. Okay, I was totally in awe of Gwen Verdon.
Oh, yes.
Just totally in awe. That's my girl. I mean, she was...
Right, the two of you enjoyed quite a run together in your
careers.
In Chicago.
Yeah, I was in awe of her because she did what I was attempting to do, and she was doing it fabulously, and she was herself, and... you know, she had a lot of experience in film and everything else, but she was a completely well-rounded dancer, which is what you work to be. So, but you know, you learn from you can learn from a lot of different people.
Absolutely.
Dick Van Dyke, you just can't find a sweeter guy, better companion, you know, to work with,
and still going strong,
and totally, totally going strong, absolutely.
People probably would recognize you most from your roles as Anita in West Side Story or Velma Kelly in Chicago. Those are some very prominent roles. If they're old enough. But you're still out there making even more of a name for yourself now. You've recently done some new projects. Would you like to talk about those?
Well, The Visit was a beautiful piece that was directed by John Doyle. And Terrence McNally adapted it for the theater, and the score was Kandra Nebin. We'd been working on that since the unfortunate days of 9/11, and we did that in Chicago, and it was a wonderful brand new musical piece, and which is what I think our theater kind of needs now again. We need a resurgence of new pieces, new playwrights that can, you know, explore their talents in the theater. And we had a great run then, but then, of course, 9/11 happened, and then we did it again in Virginia, and Ryan King choreographed it there. And then Graziella Danielle choreographed the visit here. And it was a wonderful experience, with the exception of the fact that we didn't run terribly long, but we also lost the wonderful actor Roger Rees. He passed away. It was a terrible shock for all of us. And so, you know, everything has its destiny, and we don't know what it is until we're faced with it. And we'll see. The visit might just pop itself up again. It was really quite an extraordinary, dark piece. I mean, we're not talking about Mary Poppins. We're talking about serious subject matter and a very European way of looking at particular subjects. So, you know, that we're still lingering a little bit in that. You know, when we did Chicago, the first year of rehearsals, we read through the show, and then we broke for lunch. When we came back, Bob Fosse had a heart attack.
Right.
So I don't remember how long our delay was, but we were delayed until Bobby got better, and we went on to do it. When we broke, while Bobby was recuperating, Fred Ebb, John Cantor, and Ron Field, a great choreographer, director at the time, said, let's do a club act. Well, to make a long story short, that club act, not the same one, but a lot of the material, and from that day, I am still doing today. And it's a wonderful thing to know that you've come along at a time and you've had the luck of wonderful pieces that you've been able to do in the theater, and they still are appealing to people, and you can still do them. Not bad to have a West Side Story under your belt, or Chicago, or Spider Woman, or
right. You
know, any of those things. That's not bad news.
and you know, it's not bad news to have a couple of Tonys and a bunch of nominations under your belt either. I'm sure that helps.
It doesn't hurt, but you wouldn't have them without these great creators writing these shows. And then the luck and the hard work that the actor does to be able to do it, you know. So it all works in its own. It's like a big concert that comes together, you know.
Well, it's come together very well for you, you know.
Yeah.
We talk about the Tonys and the nominations, but you have some other awards. I know nobody is really in it for the accolades. That comes with just doing what you love. But
yeah, exactly.
You received the Presidential Medal of Freedom from Barack Obama in 2009.
I kept looking around thinking, have they made a mistake? But yeah, that's, you know, I don't know. You put your hands up and you say, okay, thank you.
Right.
Thank you very much for this honor and this blessing, and then you go on. You know, you don't know. You just don't look back and say, oh, I deserve this, or I deserve this. You don't know.
No, but how nice is it to be recognized in such
a
way, you know? And the Kennedy Center honors. So.
It's extremely humbling. But it does give you, it makes you even more responsible, I'll tell you that.
Right.
But it's great. It's wonderful.
Yeah, you can actually feel the weight of your career in a moment like that, I would assume.
Yeah, you do. It's kind of like God's way of tapping you on the shoulder and saying, look what's happened. Just take a look for a second. Take a breath and look and see what your life is about. You know, because I always believed, and I always use this, that you're born with an empty canvas and with a big red blob on it, and that's your heart or your soul. And then you paint your picture. You paint your life through your whole, through your existence. And at the end, you hope you have a really nice painting that's your life.
You're listening to Better Than Monkeys from WQLN Radio. Hello, everybody. I'm Brian Hanna. I hope you're enjoying this episode of Better Than Monkeys featuring Broadway legend Cheetah Rivera. And we'll be back with more interview in just a couple of minutes. But first, if you're enjoying this episode of Better Than Monkeys, and maybe you'd like to check out more of our episodes, well, you can find them by visiting us on the web at wqln.org/BTM. We have them all archived right there. Or you can check out wqln.org to listen to more of our wonderful radio programs. And you can also follow WQLN on social media. We're on Facebook and Instagram, and we would love for you to check us out there too. And if for some reason you feel generous today, well, we would love your support, because we cannot produce programs like Better Than Monkeys without the help of our listeners. So while you're at WQLN.org, we'd be grateful if you'd like to throw a few dollars in the pot to help us out. So enough of the sales pitch. So let's get back to our interview with Broadway legend Chita Rivera. A lot of people here in Erie are huge Bob Fosse fans. What was he like in person?
He was kind. Well, he had a great sense of humor. At times, like a little Irish leprechaun, you know. He was passionate about his choreography. He loved women, so therefore he could choreograph magnificently on a woman, Gwen being his muse, of course. And but he was a nice guy, really nice guy. Intense, but that's cool, you know. And I always remember that little sparkle in his eye. And he knew that I recognized it, so we shared that. But he also, you know, he came from a background of all kinds of dancing. He was a hoofer, a great hoofer. And if one were to see a lot of his old movies, he clearly studied. I never asked him, but he, from the dancing that he did, he clearly studied some of the other choreographers, you know, like Jack Cole, and you know, probably some ballet classes in there. But he was well-rounded dancer. He just came back to this style. This is a style that everybody remembers. This very tight, precise movement. Everybody remembers that, but he actually had a larger scope than that. Well, I think you see it more in the original Chicago, the number that Velma had to do. Velma Takes a Stand, and it's all over the place. It's not just as little tiny.
And, you know, that influence carries over so far into modern pop culture, even if you look at dancers like Michael Jackson. And the way they move is so Bob Fosse.
Oh, yeah.
That you can just see how that carried right on over.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's beautiful the way Michael did it, too. And also Sammy. Sammy right. was great. It was an understanding of the body and making the audience focus on a particular area of the body, whether it be the finger or just the wrist or just, you know, a tilt of the head or just one hip.
You know, I have one more question, then we'll talk about Mercyhurst for just a second. One of my good friends works with the Erie Playhouse here in Erie, asked me to ask you, what is your secret to a long and happy life?
I have no secrets. I don't know myself. Every single day I wake up and go, okay, lungs are full today. This is good. I think movement. I think caring about your life. Keep moving. You've got to keep doing. You can't just sit around unless your writer and your mind is working. But you've got to work. You've got to use the mind and the body and the spirit. Share your life, and you know, don't overdo anything. Nothing. I do everything, you know, but I do it to with limitations. But you gotta let your spirit and your body be introduced to each other. So they have to, you know, you gotta use both of those. You gotta take your exercises. Gotta keep the blood flowing, and you have to care. You have to care. You have to share, and you have to give.
I'm Brian Hanna, and again, I'm so thrilled that Chita Rivera would take time out of her busy schedule to share some of her life story with us. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Better Than Monkeys as much as I did, and I'd love for you to join us each month as we come out with a new episode. And if you check us out online, there are episodes featuring master magician Bobby Borgia, an archaeologist, an astronomer, an author, musicians, so many great interviews online at wqln.org/BTM. Again, I'm Brian Hanna. Thank you so much for joining me for Better Than Monkeys from WQLN Radio.